Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
You're listening to Finance for Beginners. This is the podcast that demystifies how Wall Street investment works, including all of that confusing jargon and what it all means to you. It's explained to you by veteran investor and broker, John Lemmerman. Hi, John. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Roger. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks. Hey, listen, there has been some talk lately about stablecoin. We're talking about the United States economy or the Treasury moving towards some sort of crypto thing. And so they're talking about stablecoin. What the heck is that all about?
There is an act that passed the Senate called the Genius Act. And what that would do is allow stablecoins to be administered by the Federal Reserve, regulated, and regulated just like they are doing banking, and that these stablecoins could be used for payments. Like, for instance, if somebody wanted to use a stablecoin to buy a house. Right now, when someone buys a house, they have to show that they have the funds available to buy the house or the down payment, and that money has to be there for a certain amount of time so that they know that there's been no money laundering or anything like that. So the Federal Reserve would not only set rules and regulations for stablecoins, but there would be such things as monitoring to make sure there's no anti-money laundering going on into effect. But it's a big change. The one main feature of stablecoins is they can transact extremely fast, like 3 to 5 seconds. A transaction can go through, and much cheaper than Visa or MasterCard. So it could have a big effect on those companies, but it would be a real breakthrough for the stablecoin market. It has not passed the House yet. And then once, if it does pass the House, then the bills would have to be reconciled. But it does look like something is going to happen in the stablecoin market.
Well, would this be a business-to-business situation, or would the home buyer himself be involved in it? In terms of owning stablecoin, could I have stablecoin?
Yes.
Okay. So I've got an account somewhere that has X number of, you know, X amount of dollars in stablecoin. And so I could spend that like regular currency?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And so there is regulation, right?
No, this bill would allow the Federal Reserve to create regulations to do this. The Genius Bill is supposed to be a balance so that it's not over-regulated, so that it opens up the arena for innovation. So they don't want to stifle the stable coins.
Okay.
They want to try to enhance it, but the big thing with this too, Roger, is that right now the SWIFT system is used for trade, for wire transfers. For instance, if you were going to buy something from China, you might have to make a wire transfer to some place in China to get it brought over here.
Uh-huh.
Stablecoin can do it just like that. Oh. And avoid a whole bunch of fees. Right now, you could do it anonymously. There, it's a peer-to-peer system that is much faster and much cheaper than the old systems we have in place right now.
So, who issues stablecoin? I mean, if I want to buy into it, how do I do that? How do I convert my greenbacks into stablecoin?
Okay, so there's three or four different stablecoins, and I might be misspeaking myself. There could be thousands of stablecoins out there, but there's three or four big ones right now. The biggest one is Tether, and Tether is marked to the U.S. dollar, so it's virtually a dollar worth of Tether is worth approximately one U.S. dollar.
Okay.
There is XRP. There is, I think there's Stellar Lumens is one, and these are the three biggest. Tether is the single biggest one. Right about the time this bill went through, there was an IPO of another institution that has a stablecoin called Circle. And Circle IPO'd like the second week of June. And when it was brought to market, it was supposed to IPO at $31 a share. The first trade was in the 60s. And that stock went to, I think, $300 or $400. Now, it's correcting a little bit right now, but they also have a stable coin that seems to like have coincided right with the passage of this Genius Act, well, with the first passage in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's three or four big ones, and it seems like BlackRock is getting involved in it.
That's a big outfit.
Yeah, there's a lot of momentum building behind this. One of the things that I wonder about is these stable coins for backing are partially investing in U.S. Treasury bills and U.S. debt. And I think the United States needs another buyer for our debts, because our debts just keep mounting and mounting.
Right.
And the fact that these, as a reserve behind the stable coins, they're buying a big bunch of treasury bills. Like I can't remember which one. It seems like it's XRP owns a fairly significant chunk of the U.S. Treasury bills that are outstanding now.
Okay. So now who... How are these issued? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, is there some sort of a controlling entity here? I mean, if I'm looking at a dollar bill, right, that I've got in my wallet, one of the few, if I'm looking at that, I know that the United States government is issued it and is backing it in some way, shape, or form. I know that the U.S. government is behind that. If I were to invest in pounds, if I was in England and was, the currency is pounds, then I understand that the British government is standing behind that. So how does the stablecoin work? Who's standing behind that?
I would say what's standing behind it right now is technology. There is technology behind it that is beyond what our system has right now. Several of these stable coins have been issued with a limited amount. Like there may be 100 billion XRPs, and that's it. They're not going to issue anymore. So if you were going to buy XRP, that would be a floating price. That price is going to go up and down. There is a private company in San Francisco called Ripple, through which much of the XRP is traded, and it is already in use. It is already being used for sales. I think you could find things online, which if you had XRP, you could use it as a currency to buy things with. But if the U.S. government gets behind it and regulates it, then to some extent it would almost be like a de facto guarantee that the government is backing it as well.
Gotcha.
Right now, you don't have that. You don't have that. It's just a, it's an entity that's out there that you could play with if you like. And right now, it'd sort of be buyer beware.
So it some sort of a private enterprise has issued this.
Yes.
Okay, and so I have the choice of either buying into it and hoping that the cost goes up or down,
Right.
right, and buy it the same as I would any other stock. Okay, except it's a currency, but I'm buying it like I would if I were buying Exxon or whomever, right? So
You wouldn't buy it on a stock exchange, though. You would buy it through a Coinbase or
right, but it would
Binance.
but the underlying principle would be the same, that I'm buying a piece of the action.
Right. A piece of the action, yes.
Okay. So, well, that helps a lot, and so I think if other people want to get more information, I'm sure there are other sources, but that kind of helps me a little bit understand what this is all happening, so that it'll be interesting to see what the U.S. government does along the way.
What I would say is, to some extent, it's kind of like if you think of the network effect, this seems to be a big thing in everything that goes big. After you get such a big network, like Facebook was a little thing, and now the network of Facebook is so big, it's intruding into everything that it makes Facebook a more powerful entity as time goes on. The same with these stablecoins. If somebody's technology is best, it's going to break out and I think gain momentum and be the strongest thing out there.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thanks, John. I appreciate that a lot. I'm Roger Humphrey, and on behalf of myself and John Lemmerman, we thank you so much for listening, and we hope you find the information really valuable. If so, please stop by Finance for Beginners for another episode. Hey, if you've got any questions, please leave them in the comments down below. I promise we will read them. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute financial, investment, or legal advice. The opinions expressed by the host and guests are their own and may not reflect the views of their respective organizations or employers. While we strive to provide accurate and up-to-date information, financial markets are subject to fluctuations, and the information provided may become outdated or change over time. Always do your own research and consult with a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions or taking any financial actions. We may discuss products, services, or strategies, but our recommendations are not endorsements. Any potential conflicts of interest will be disclosed as applicable. We do not receive compensation for promoting any specific financial products or services. By listening to this podcast, you agree that the hosts, guests, and producers are not liable for any losses or damages resulting from your reliance on the information provided.